Now we come to our fourth in this series of messages, preaching from Joshua. And we're just taking topics in the book of Joshua. This is not a verse by verse study, but just topics here. Today I want to call your attention to three or four verses here. We'll begin reading at Joshua chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse number 6 and read through verse number 9. The Bible says in verse 6, the Lord talking to Joshua, the Bible says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all of the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now, our Heavenly Father, would you help us today as we preach on this very important subject? And I pray you'll use us for your glory. And Lord, have your will and your way in this day and in this time. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I call your attention today in three of these four verses, the writer mentions courage. And what God is wanting to do is now they're getting ready to conquer the Canaan land. But there's got to be some courage on the part of Joshua. And God has laid down some commandments to him. So I want to preach on the word courage today. And if there's anything we need in the day and hour in which we live, it is courage. Now, I want to give you an introduction to this. My introduction might go a little while, so we'll just see how much of the message I actually get to. But the word courage, let's think about that word for a minute. It means bravery. It means that quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness or without fear. Depression of spirits, and it means valor, it means boldness, and it means resolution. Now, when we talk about courage, one fellow said courage is acting in spite of fear. You know, the human body is made where we're made to fear. Now, I think that fear is one of the devil's tactics. I really do. I also think this. One of my old pastors used to say this many times when I was growing up, and I even heard this, I think, before I got saved. I know I did. I heard him say this. The devil, the greatest tool of the devil is discouragement. Now, I'm talking to people out there today, and man, you're discouraged. I'm talking to pastors, and you're so discouraged with things. The other Sunday morning I woke up, and I had a meeting booked. I was supposed to be somewhere, and I did go, and I did preach. But I tell you, I woke up, and the devil got me so discouraged. I didn't say anything to my wife. I didn't say anything. I went into my office there at home, and went over my scriptures, the message I was going to preach. I had never preached that message before. And I went over that, and I mean the devil worked on me. He just had me down and blue and sad. And brother, let me say, we cannot be at our best when we're discouraged. So we must stay in the Word of God. Now, God gave Joshua three things about discouragement. I want you to notice, first of all, this is my introduction. This is not the message, it's the introduction. Three times Joshua is instructed about courage. Number one, he's instructed about courage concerning the whole congregation of Israel. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Now, let's just stop right there and take some time, and we're going to follow the Holy Spirit. If we don't even get to all this, it's fine. We might just stay in the introduction. I don't know. But anyway, here's Joshua now. Now, God has told him to be strong. He said, for unto this whole multitude, I'm going to divide the inheritance. Now, you got to go back and you got to think about some things. Now, 40 years earlier, Joshua was part of 12 men that went to Canaan for 40 days. This was only 40 years ago, 40 years earlier. And Joshua saw that mission fail because of discouragement. Now, God killed those other 10 men. The only man that was alive was Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And Joshua saw that failure. And God was reminding Joshua that if he got discouraged, the rest of them would be. Now, let me say this to you, Pastor. I'm not going to tell you how to pastor your church. I'm not going to tell you how to preach. I don't know any of that. God hasn't put me in your church, so I can't tell you anything that way. But I can say this. If you're discouraged, the rest of the crowd will be. If you're ahead of the soul winning at your church, if you're discouraged, the rest of the crowd will be. I noticed that when I pastored. If I was down, my people would get down. Amen. If you lead the choir, if you're discouraged, they will be. If you are a deacon, if you're discouraged, other deacons will be discouraged. Amen. And so it goes a long way. Courage is a thing that you've got to be bold. Amen. Now, you've got to do what's right, but you've got to have a courage and realize you have an influence on other people. If you get in the Sunday school class and all you talk about is how bad times are and how bad America is, and you're going to get the whole crowd discouraged. Amen. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people hear on Sunday. They go to the house of God and they hear a recap of the week's news. Now, let me say, that's the last thing in the world you need. Now, wait a minute. I believe that we ought to preach about things, and I even have a program. As of the time I'm recording this, it's called A Call for Revival. It's a 5-minute thing we do each day. But let me say something about that. I'm not going to spend my time in doom and gloom and tell you how bad everything is. I cannot carry on the work of the Lord being discouraged. I cannot. I can't carry the ministry that God has given me here at Gospel Broadcasting if I'm discouraged. So God is telling Joshua, now you be strong because I'm going to give you the land. Let's read that verse again. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people, all right, now he's talking about the whole multitude, shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now, here's the deal. Joshua's got a lot of work to do. Joshua is going to divide the entire promised land. Of course, they didn't take it all that God promised them. I don't think Israel's ever had all of that land. But the land that they took, Joshua was going to have to be a leader. And let me say this to you. The late Dr. Lee Robertson made this statement, and I will echo it here. Everything rises and falls on leadership. If you've got a poor leader as the pastor of the church, then the church will not do anything. If you've got a poor leader in the classroom, the student will not do anything. If you've got a poor leader on the job, then the classroom will not do anything. Now, the leader is called on sometimes to make decisions that he might not want to make. Now, here as the leader of this ministry that God has put me into, and there's no doubt that God's put me in the radio ministry for this time, for this hour, for this day, all right? There are decisions sometimes that I have to make concerning different things that maybe people don't like, or churches don't like, or maybe I don't like it myself. But we have to make those decisions, and we have to have enough courage to do what is right. Now, number one, he made a statement concerning the whole congregation. All right, if Joshua's discouraged, the whole crowd's going to be discouraged. Amen. And let me just go back before I go to number two and just read you Numbers 33:32. This is talking about the 40 years earlier when the 10 men went with Joshua and Caleb. And the Bible gives you a little bit of what happened here in verse 32. The Bible says, and they brought up an evil report talking about the 10 men of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men great stature. Now, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Where's God? There's a lot of philosophy, but no feeling of the Holy Spirit. No power of the Holy Spirit. You know, today we have traded the power of God for philosophy. Amen. If I don't get anywhere else today, I'm just going to say, I love you all. But folk, we try to reason God's will out too much. God sends 12 men over there. And wait a minute. God sent the men. God told Moses to do it. So hold on a minute. And by the way, we said this in another message. These wasn't fly-by-night men. These were not just nobodies. These were rulers of the people. And God sent these men over there. God sent them over there to do a job, to search out the land. God did not send them there. Now, I'm going to give you something to think about because the Holy Spirit just gave it to me. God did not send them over there to decide whether they could take the land. That wasn't their mission. They were wrong by coming back to the whole congregation and said, we can't do this. God didn't send them over there to see if they could do it. God sent them over there to see how they could do it. Amen. They had the mission all wrong. And yet they come back. Notice they didn't just speak to Moses. They spoke to the whole crowd. That's what a discourager will do in the church. Well, the preacher will mention, by the way, now the late Bobby Robertson, my friend, he said this, there's a difference between faith and foolishness. So preachers, be careful. When you are introducing something new to your deacon board or to the congregation, number one, make sure you've prayed about it. I mean prayed about it. I'm not talking about now lay me down to sleep, park my scooter in the street, if I should die before a week, I pray the Lord to send Abraham mash a break. I ain't talking about that kind of praying. I'm talking about you prayed, you've been before God. Now, when you know it's right, then you move on. But you're always going to have some people that said, you can't do that. Why, there's people in my ministry along the way that said they've cast doubt on whether things would be done. I've seen God do things mortal man can't do. I've seen God in the last 2 years, and God told me in the year 2022, in the spring of that year, late winter, early spring. I remember one day I was down a little bit. I walked in. God said, be still and know that I am God. From that time to this, I tell you what, I have known God is God. God has manifested himself to me in so many ways. In our ministry, I've never seen God do what he's doing. And I want to tell you, he's real, brother. And so these men reasoned God right out of it. God said, go over there. And these men came back and said, we can't do it. They said, these men are of greater stature than we are. They're higher than we are. And we can't go again. And that's philosophy. Now, folk, I'm going to say something to you. Don't get mad at me. But we need to junk the philosophy in ministry today. We try to reason out things. We try to think out things. Listen, God's a lot smarter than you and I. Now, I believe in planning, okay? But I'm going to tell you, I think some of us plan too much. Now, one man preached a sermon on God's, on man's way or God's steps. Now, the Bible said that the man's heart deviseth his way. I've come up with some pretty good plans. I've come up with some pretty good series of sermons. And God said, no, we're not going to preach that right now. Matter of fact, there's something I'm wanting to do right now. God said, nope, you can't do that. I give you this other thing to do, and God has given me an assignment I'm working on doing, and so I'm doing what God told me. Listen, when you become yielded to the Holy Ghost, and you say, hey, this is my assignment from God. I never forget it. One great old man of God, he's in heaven now. But he'd stand up, and I heard him one night, he was preaching. He said, my assignment for the Holy Ghost, from the Holy Ghost this evening is, and he told us what it was. And here's the thing about his message. Every message we preach ought to be a sign from God. I said a sign, not a sign, but a sign. Every message ought to be specifically put on your heart from God. Amen. It is not our great intellectual ability to get sermons. And God is telling Joshua here now, and by the way, these men brought up an evil report, and they suffered over that for 40 years. All right, that philosophy. God is telling Joshua here, Joshua, you got to be strong. I mean, you don't want, and basically what God is saying, I believe, is you don't want this to happen again. You don't want to get discouraged, and you've already drug around here for 40 years. And Moses indicated that if they did not do what God told them to do in the book of Numbers when they were having the discussion about the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh rather staying over there in the land on the other side of Jordan. And Moses told them, if you don't do what God said, God will leave them another 40 years. And for 40 years, Joshua saw a generation of men that were older than him waste away because they did not obey God. God get you out of the way, friend. That ain't preached much in this day and hour, but God couldn't remove you and put somebody else there to do it. Amen. So we got to be strong. I, as a leader of this mission, I, as a radio preacher, I've got to be strong in what I'm preaching, not prideful. No. I'm nothing before God. I'm nothing. But I've got to be confident in what I'm preaching, that what I'm preaching is right. I got to have the courage, the boldness of God. Now, what is the boldness of God? The Holy Ghost. The feeling of the power of God. Remember what the Bible said in the book of Acts? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses of me. And then he told all the places you're going to be witnesses of. One place he named was Samaria. Well, Samaria, they were a bunch of half-breeds. I mean, they wasn't Jews, and they wasn't really Gentiles, and they didn't like them, and they didn't like them. And I mean, that's a tough place to go, brother. Amen. But God said, you go, and by the way, Philip went down to Samaria and had a great revival, right? Amen. I mean, God sometimes sends you right in the fire. I remember God telling me, back about 6 years ago, I was under a burden praying for a revival for this nation. God said, turn your Bible to the book of Ezekiel. And I read what God told Ezekiel. I've not sent you to a foreign country. God's never let me go to the mission field. I've prayed many times, tried to go. God would not let me go. And my mission in life is to America. My mission to in life is to you that are listening on the radio. And yes, sometimes it's a little hard. Because why? You've heard preacher after preacher after preacher. And some of you would rather be hearers of the word than to be doers of the work. Amen. But anyway, I still love you and I'm still going to preach to you. Amen. So now, we see number one, God spoke to Joshua concerning the whole congregation. Number two, God spoke to Joshua concerning the word of God. Now watch this right here in verse number 7, chapter number 1, Joshua 1, verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. And they put the word very there, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all, that's the key, the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. He said this, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, he spoke to Joshua about the whole congregation, but he spoke to him about the word of God. He said, now Joshua, if you're going to do this thing right, I've laid the law before you. Now Joshua has the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All right. And God said, now Joshua, I don't want you to turn from the right hand or to the left. Did you know us preachers need some courage today to preach the Bible? Now, I want you to know something. Did you know Bible preaching is not popular today? Now, I am not talking about mean, hateful, ill-spirited, pharisaical preaching. I am not talking about that stuff. I'm not talking about that at all. But I mean, even when you preach the Bible, you preach on prayer and see how popular you are. You preach on giving and see how popular you are. Well, all you preachers want is money, 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 money. No, it's in the Bible. Amen. You preach on faithfulness and see how popular you are. Amen. Preach on sin. I'm talking about in the right way. And I'm not just talking about preaching on sin in general. I mean, name it. Tell Baptists that they ought not be at the bar on Monday in a business meeting and be in the choir on Wednesday night during the prayer meeting. Tell them that and see how popular you are. Tell Baptists that they ought to dress right and keep their clothes on in public and see how popular you are. Tell Baptists that Christians have no place watching R-rated movies and see how popular you are. Amen. Amen. By the way, all that's in the Bible. All that's in the Bible. I'm not making things up. Tell Baptists that they ought to get all the bitterness and all the unforgiveness out of their heart and see how popular you are. Somebody said, well, I just preached the gospel. Well, the gospel's to lost people. Amen. The gospel, by the way, it's good to talk about the good news. It's good to talk about the Lord Jesus, what he's done on Calvary. And I thank God for what he's done. I thank God for the death, burial, and resurrection. I thank God for the peace I have in my heart and the pardon I have from God. But he's telling Joshua, he said, you follow all the law. We as preachers should be filled with God and we should not be scared to preach. Now I want to say this. There are people nowadays, there's a lot more money that comes into the ministry nowadays than did in the early days of GBI. But I want to say this, I am not on the radio for your money. I am not running and operating radio stations for money. I do not do it for money. And I want to say this, you can give me $25,000 today. Write me a check, $25,000 today, but I want to preach the Bible tomorrow. I don't want to be under your thumb because you give a certain amount of money, and I'm afraid to say anything, afraid you'll pull that money. Let me tell you something. I've told you this. I had a man tell me one time he got mad at me. Matter of fact, the man didn't even go to church where I was pastoring, but he got mad at me over something in the church. And he called me up, and he supported the ministry. I believe it's $25 a month, something from his business. And he said, I just want to tell you, I'm not going to support you anymore. And he said, I hate to see your ministry fall. That's what he said. Well, I feel sorry for the poor fella. I'm not mad at him at all. I'm not mad at all about that. And this has been years ago when we first started. But man, God has used our ministry. We've been around this nation preaching the gospel. I've preached in places I'm not even on the radio app due to the internet and the apps and the things. And I'm not mad at that dear fella. I know, sir, I'm not mad at him. I'm just simply telling you, won't stop God when God's doing. But my duty is to preach the word of God. Now, I get this a lot from the people. I get this a lot. Preacher, we like a fella that tells it like it is. Now, wait a minute. Don't pin your roses on me. I'm just preaching the Bible. I'm not pharisaical. I'm not going to get into that hateful preaching and call you a bunch of names. Listen, our churches in America have been ruined by that kind of preaching. Our churches in America have been ruined by getting up in the church and the preacher calling things out that he's got no business doing, and no wisdom is used, and no understanding is used, no restraint is used. And it just splits church wide open. And then some fella get up and say, well, y'all look better going you do coming. You ever heard that? Or if you don't like what I'm saying, you can hit the door. It ain't funny when about 40 of them hit the door and leave you with the bills, right? Amen. But God is telling Joshua here, don't go to the left hand. Don't go to the right. Now, by the way, let's just break that down for a minute. Let's don't get over here with the right crowd. Let's don't get over here with the Pharisees and be against everybody and everything. Alright, let's have enough courage to stand for what's right. Let's don't. Now, some of you liberals are shouting, but hold on a minute. He said, don't go to the left hand. I'm not to compromise with the new church movement, the new contemporary movement, the new contemporary singing, the new contemporary dress, the new contemporary talk. I'm not to compromise with that movement either. I'm still to preach it right, straight down the middle, like it is. Amen. And that's what God told you. Now, he said, be very courageous. I've got to be courageous to preach the Word of God. I'm not preaching whether people like it or not. I love you. My goal is to help you. My goal is to leave you better than you were when you tuned in to me. And that's my goal. And God said, Joshua, this is what I want you to do. Now, let me show you this. Amen. Let me show you this. All right. He said this. I'm looking for a verse that I don't have. All right, so let me go on to number three. Number one, and I print my stuff out where I can see it, so I'm not where I wanted to be, and I'm not going to go back. But anyway, number one, he spoke to the fact of the whole congregation. Number two, he spoke concerning the Word of God. Number three, he spoke to Joshua within himself. Notice verse number 9, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee personally, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God, personal thy, is with thee, personal, whithersoever thou, personal, goest. In other words, Joshua, you are going through some battles, son, and I'm going to be with you. Now, the preacher, and I've already kind of covered this, but the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, the choir leader, anybody, you got to have courage about whatever you're doing. And the way you get courage, I believe, stay filled with the Spirit of God. You see the old drunk out there, the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost of God, wine will do three things to a drunkard. It'll affect his talk, his walk, and his thought. Why, did you know there are men out there that get drunk on alcohol, they think they can stop a freight train. Oh, stop that train coming down. You know. And, I mean, you know, amen. I never forget this. Ought not tell it, but I had a little procedure done one time, and I got, the medicine they gave me. It just made me drunk. It impaired my ability to think. And my wife said, she said, I could hear you down the hall. Said, you was telling those nurses, I pray for y'all every day. Well, I didn't even know them people. I didn't pray for them. I didn't know anything about that. And I came up the hall. I remember telling one lady, and I remember this, you know, I got a sense of humor and I like to pick on people. And this lady was helping me and she was trying to get me back to Christy there in the waiting area. And I looked at her and I said, I'm going home and run my chainsaw. Well, I don't even have a chain. And boy, that sent that woman into orbit. Sir, you're not going home. You're not running a chainsaw. No, you're not doing that. And so I remember walking in that waiting room, and I mean, I was empowered that medicine. I looked at Christy, and this is what I'm embarrassed. I'm real quiet like that. If I know you, I'll talk a lot, but when I first come up on something, I don't say a lot. And I walked in that waiting room. I didn't care who was in there. And I looked in there, it was Christy sitting there, and I said, hey, Christy, I said, what are you doing in here? She said, and she wasn't trying to be mean. She was trying to gain control of the situation. She had sat down over here and hush. And she finally got me down over there and got some Pepsi Cola in me or Coca Cola or something. And it kind of wore off. But here's the thing about it, what I said to that. Now, when you're filled with the Spirit, I'm not saying you'll act crazy. I'm not saying that, but you will have a boldness. See, that medicine made me bold in the wrong way. Amen. But I'm talking, when you get filled with a God, you're going to have a boldness about you, preacher. Now, you say, preacher, you say, I'm discouraged over my church. Well, you pray. I think there's too many men leaving their churches. I'm going to be honest with you about that. I think there's too many men. The grass is greener on the other side. Now, let me tell you something, fellas. I'm 59 years old. Don't get mad at me, okay? I'm into my 42nd year of preaching. I'm about as dumb as I was when I started. But, I have been there on this thing of the grass is greener on the other side. Let me tell you what I did. I hesitate to tell this, but I'm going to tell anyway. I was pastoring a little country church. My first church, I did not know what I was doing. I had people that were good people, but maybe some of them hadn't been taught exactly where they need to be in the Word of God. So I really basically had three different crowds. I had a crowd that would come on Sunday morning, and some of them wouldn't come back on Sunday night. And then the crowd that came on Sunday night, none of them, because they had to work and everything, they wasn't there on Wednesday night. So I had almost three different crowds, and some of the Sunday morning people would come back on Sunday night, and they were good people. And I should have stayed still. I should have minded God. I stayed there. I only stayed as pastor 4 months. 4 months and 2 weeks I stayed. I mean, it was a disaster. And here's the deal. Here's the whole deal about that. Here's the whole deal about that. I got my eyes on greener grass. I said, I'll go yonder and start a church or something, and they'll respect. And it was 25 years before God would ever let me even go somewhere, that place I had in mind to start a church. And then when I started it, I mean, I still run up on some opposition. A good church came out of that. But you know, you're going to fight. And what I learned, you're going to fight the devil anywhere. You're going to fight the devil in North Dakota just like you will in North Carolina. You're going to fight the devil in South Carolina just like you do in South Dakota. I mean, brother, you can run across the sea. And you're going to fight the devil in Spain just like you would in Oregon. Amen. I mean, the devil is everywhere. And anything that's going on, I had a pastor talk to me yesterday. And he said, you know, I'm having visitors at my church. And he said, man, things starting to happen. He said, the devil's fighting. I said, brother, when you start doing something for God, the devil's going to fight you. And let me tell you, if the devil don't fight you, you ain't doing nothing. Amen. And God is saying, now, Joshua, this verse is for you. And you're going to have to go around not letting your lip drag the ground. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. Why, pastor, you can't live in fear of your church people. Now, handle things with wisdom. Handle things with godliness. Handle things with grace. And the Bible talked about he that handleth the matter wisely. Amen. And listen, if you'll handle it wisely, you'll find good. I had a matter that laid before me. By the way, I'm not going to tell you how to pastor. I was a failure at pastoring a church. But I had a matter that laid before me and in a church, and I pastored five churches, so you don't know which one it was. And I had a lot of opposition over the years and things, but I had a matter that laid before me. And one preacher gave me some advice. He told me to do it this way, and he was a very wise man. Another preacher gave me some advice, and he told me to do it another way. And, you know, there are people out there, and sometimes they're like Rehoboam. They want to pound the pulpit and say, bless your heart. If you don't do it my way, why, we'll clean your clock. Well, that ain't really the way to solve anything at all. That ain't never the way to solve anything. Never. A confrontation is never a way to solve anything. Never. Now, sometimes you have to take a stand. you had to take a stand. I had to take some stands in church in my lifetime. I've had to take some stands. Yes, sir, I have. And if you're a pastor, sometimes you got to just say, no, we're not doing it this way. And but I made the wrong choice. And it caused problems in that church. Now, let me say this to you. I ought to have enough courage to stand on what the Bible says. Amen. So God gave Joshua three different areas. Now, I want to get to the message, and here's what I'm doing. I'm preaching on topics out of Joshua. I'm preaching on courage. Now, some of you may not appreciate the fact that I'm preaching from Joshua, but yet I'm going to other scripture to give you facts about courage, but I'm going to do that. If I have time, which I don't know if I'll get through it all or not, but I'm going to give you three men in the Bible, and we're going to talk about courage. Now, courage is something you need. I think, first of all, when I think about courage, I think about David. I think about David in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Let's just read verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass when David and his men, by the way, they had just gotten turned back from the Philistine king and said, you can't go with us to fight. All right, so no doubt David is a little bit discouraged with that. But God needed him somewhere else. We're come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites, that's a type of the flesh, by the way, had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Verse number 3 says, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Now, you can imagine that. Amen. The Bible said, then David and his people, the Bible said, then David and the people that were with him, the Bible said, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, let me stop right there for a minute. Now, here they are, that David and his men go out, and of course, you know the story. They're over there with Achish, the king of the Philistines, and Achish gives David Ziklag, but David goes and tries to go with Achish to the war. And the lords of Philistines said, that fella can't go with us because he's going to turn against, and David would have turned against them. He said, he'll turn against us in battle. And he sent David back. Well, David goes back to Ziklag, and when he gets there, he finds the city burned with fire. He finds his wives gone. The other men find their children, their sons, their daughters, their wives gone. And the Bible said they lift up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. By the way, somebody said, well, if a man cries, that's a sign of weakness. Well, sir, can I respectfully say you don't know your Bible? There's nothing wrong with crying. I saw my daddy cry. Now, my daddy is a little prideful, but I've seen my daddy cry. Let me tell you something, brother. I've cried some tears myself. I remember a situation happened to me and my wife, and I mean, we spent about a whole day crying. When I'd cry, she'd tell me to be quiet, and we'd get settled down, and she'd start crying, and I'd tell her, we just cried the whole day. And we had something pretty bad happen, and it just got us both discouraged. But you know what? God delivered us and helped us, and amen. Let me say something about that, brother. Amen. They went, and God sees the tears. Maybe you've cried over that lost boy. Or that lost girl. God sees those tears. Matter of fact, the Bible talked about God putting your tears in a bottle. Maybe you've cried, young lady. Maybe that young man, you know, he's going to marry you or something. He broke it off with you or something. You know, there's a lot of young people suffer over things like that. Young lady, the answer is not no gun to kill yourself with. A lot of young people kill themselves. You know, they break up with somebody and they just kill. Don't do that, young people. Listen to me. God's got somebody better in mind for you. Young man, God's got somebody better in mind. Young lady, God's got somebody better in mind. Go on down the road. Trust God. Don't you let all that. The devil wants to discourage you. Why, some pastor, you're listening to me right now, and the devil's put it in your mind to leave. You better go before God. And here's what, let me read on verse number 5. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelitess. Verse number 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man, for his sons and for his daughters. But David, notice the key, encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Now here's the deal. Why, not only did they weep, they had no power to weep. Now the men's turned on David, they're going to stone him. What did David do? It wasn't a time to use philosophy. David encouraged himself and the Lord his God. David remembered the time he had come to Achish before and how God had delivered him. David remembered, no doubt, Goliath and how God had delivered him. David probably remembered the times that he had fled from the javelin of Saul while he tried to smite David to the wall. And he delivered him. No doubt David remembered the caves that he was in and how God delivered him. And let me say this to you, friend. God is a God of deliverance. God is a God of salvation. God will take care of those problems in your church. God will take care of those problems in your life. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But God will take care of them. How do you reckon Job felt? Lost everything he had. His wife came. By the way, I wouldn't criticize her too much. She said, curse God and die, but old Job didn't do it. The Bible said here today, by the way, here's Joshua now. Go back to Joshua for a minute. Three times God used the word courage or courageous. Let me say this. Joshua's going to a place where the children of Israel have never been before. Pastor, if you're going to lead that church where it's never been before, you're going to have some courage. Why, young man, if you're going to lead that Sunday school class in a place it's never been before, you're going to have some courage. Why, song leader, if you're going to lead that choir to sing like it's never sung before, you're going to have some courage. Amen. Why, people discourage you. They'll talk about you. They'll post things about you. Forget all that mess. Close your eyes to it. Amen. Don't fight battles. Don't fight battles. Whatever you do, just don't fight battles unless it's in the spirit. Amen. Don't fight earthly battles. Let God fight the battle spiritually. Now, here they are. Oh, David. Now, you know what? David goes after them. And in verse number 19, the Bible says, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, whether sons or daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Why did David recover all? Because he had courage. I'm telling you, the only way to conquer the devil is to have courage in God. Amen. Why, friend, quitters are a dime a dozen. Remember old Demas? Old Demas over there, he left Paul. I don't know why he left him. Paul in a Roman prison. Paul's going to soon die. And Demas forsook him. Why, Demas was a quitter. Now, I believe Demas is saved. I believe Demas is in heaven. But Demas was a quitter. I don't want to be a quitter, do you? I think about all the young people that come and want me to sign their Bible. And I sure wouldn't want them to have to look at Mama one day and Mama said, here, son, let's mark that fella's name out because Catherine quit the ministry. Yeah, Catherine was a quitter. He got tangled up in worldliness, or he got tangled up in this or that, or he's compromised. He's went off the deep end. No, I don't ever want that said about me. I want to go for God. I'm not a quitter. I bought me about 4 or 5 years ago. It was right after COVID. I bought me a garden tiller. And I bought one of the biggest ones you can get. Now, I'm at the time I'm preaching, I probably weigh 160 to 165 pounds. I'm not very strong. And I'm not used to hard labor. I'll be honest with you, not used to it. And I had that garden tiller. I'd run one in my youth. And I thought I can handle that thing. And I took that down to my garden, and it wallered me all over that garden. I couldn't hang on to that thing. And I tell you what's truth. I got it up there at the house. And I mean a grown man, I'm standing there crying. I'm standing there crying. Now, you know, I was born blind, and I've had a lot of opposition in my eyes and things of that nature. I've never quit anything. As far as I have quit things, but I mean things, if I set my head to it, I didn't quit. And I've made some messes. I did quit the church when I shouldn't have that time. And I've quit some things. But what I'm saying is a lot of things I had to forge on in life. And I got to thinking about that thing. And the gas tank was a little hard to get to. And I said, Christy, fill that thing up full of gas. I said, I'm going to learn to run me a garden. I mean, if you'd have come by, I'd sold it to you. You know what I did? I filled that thing full of gas, and I went there. I learned how to use a garden tiller. And brother, then a year goes by, I don't use it. Let me tell you something, friend. We can't quit. We can't quit just because. Now you say, preacher, it's hard. Let me say this. We need to get over the idea of convenient Christianity. It's sweeping our churches. It's killing our churches. Now listen. We don't have convenient ball playing for the grandkids. Oh, I just stuck the fork in the pot, didn't I? I mean, listen, friends, you're going to go to that ball game no matter what. While you go over there half dead, if you're sick and blowing your nose and your liver hurts and your ears hurt and your nose hurts and your pancreas hurts and your legs hurt and your heart hurt. I mean, everything, you go. But listen, when it comes down to church time, you blow your nose one time, you say, well, I'm sick, better not give it nobody today. Now, wait a minute, I don't think you ought to come sick. But I don't think you ought to just stay home, be staying home. Amen. What I'm saying to you is this. Amen. I'll get back on courage for a minute here. Courage. Amen. Joshua was a man. God said, Joshua, you're going to go where you've never been before. In other words, you're going to conquer this land. You're going to conquer this land. You're going to have some courage. So I'm giving you some examples. Old David was a man of courage. Let me give you another one. Let me give you the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You ought to read the book of Daniel. What a great book. I mean, what a great book. All the book of Daniel is a great book. But you know, in Daniel, you find some brave men, don't you? And we pick up the story in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king. By the way, this is just after now that Daniel has revealed to him in chapter 2 the dream. And he said, thou art a king of kings. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar was a choice king of God. He was the gold in that statue that he saw in his dream. So what did Nebuchadnezzar go and do in chapter 3? Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, verse number 1, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. The Bible said he set it up in the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, the image was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. This image was a type of the Antichrist. That's what it was. It was a false deity. Now, he sets this thing up, and he wants people to worship this 90-foot-tall god made out of gold. And I don't know. The image could have been of him. I don't know. He set up an image. It could have been of him. And it was 9 feet wide. Well, there was some... And by the way, let me just give you this verse, Daniel 2:48. This is after Daniel had interpreted the dream for him. Let me just read Daniel 2:48. The Bible said, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. The Bible says, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. But verse 49, then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now, I've often wondered why Daniel wasn't here in chapter 3. Maybe he was on some other business, because this was the rulers of Babylon. This was the rulers of the provinces that the king gathered together. So Daniel could have been on another errand or something. I don't know, and I don't want to say much where the Bible don't say. But Daniel is the one that got Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego promoted. He's the one got them promoted to this. Now here's these three men, and they're right in the line of fire. They're over the province of Babylon. Well, this king decides to go crazy and have an image set up, the type of the Antichrist. Now, these men were Jews. These men knew the Bible, and these men were worshipers of God. Now, I want you to follow me in Daniel chapter 3, verse number 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. So he calls all these men now. He's going to have this great big dedication to this thing, 90 foot tall, 9 foot wide, type of the Antichrist. He's going to have a dedication. Now these men were going to be faced with some trouble here. And boy, it was coming. By the way, Christians get in trouble, don't they, when we don't go along with the world? By the way, the Antichrist is a type, and this image is a type of the world system. Friend, I'm not of this world. I don't go along with the world system. Amen. I don't go along with a lot of things the world says about politics. Amen. I'll give you one, for instance, talking about Israel. They always talk about a two-state solution. It'll never be. Never be. Never be. It may be for a period under the Antichrist, but it'll never last. You see, why? Because I know my Bible. Russia and all those nations are going to come down against Israel in Ezekiel 38. And one of these days, God's going to come back from heaven on a white horse, and we're going to be with him the second coming of the Lord. He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives, and brother, he's going to show everybody who's king. Amen. Now, let me go on here. Daniel chapter 3, let's go down to verse number 8. The Bible said, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Boy, now the devil's accuser of the brethren, amen? So he's got his men out there working. And verse number 9, they spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. By the way, I don't know where they got that at, but a lot of them in that day said, "Oh, King, live forever. Nobody's going to live forever." Amen. Except eternally. Amen. The Bible said, "Thou, O King, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound," watch this, "of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image," the Bible said, "and whoso falleth not down and worship, that he," the Bible said, "should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Now, hold on right there. Now, the king had made this decree, and these men reminded him of that. And, by the way, notice the music here. The music is provided many times in that chapter. That same phrase is repeated. Whoso fall not down to sound the cornet, the harp, the flute, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music. See, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he's going to say all kinds of music's okay. By the way, a lot of Baptists believe that now. I'm moving on. But anyway, I'm just simply telling you that the devil's music was here. The devil's beat was here. And so now these men are putting out, look at verse number 12, Daniel 3:12. I'm talking about courage. I'm talking about courage. Boy, these men had it. The Bible said, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship thy golden image, which thou hast set up." Verse number 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, in other words, he cut a fit about it, and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Verse number 14. Listen to this. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" Now, he's going to give them a chance here. Bless him. "Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music," there we go again, "ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" In other words, he's threatening them. He starts that devil's music. I mean, the demons are in it, no doubt. It's a beat, 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 bang, whatever it is. It's some kind of music to get the flesh to worship a false god. Now, I want you to notice the courage of these three Hebrew children. By the way, they're not in their native country. By the way, they have nobody to impress. By the way, they're not trying to get in some newspaper, or get in some article, or get it posted on social media, because social media wasn't around that time. These men wasn't seeking fame and fortune, but in verse number 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not," in other words, if God's will ain't to deliver us, "be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." In other words, king, we're going to tell you right now, we're not going to, they didn't do it ugly. They didn't do it mean. They were just firm, and they said, "We ain't doing that." Amen. I wish some Baptists would get back to saying, "We ain't doing that." I wish some of our churches would get back to saying, "We ain't doing that. That's of the world. We're not embracing the world system." Oh no, you won't be popular, but you'll be righteous out of the favor of God. Now what happened? Well, the king, remember, they gathered them up. The men that threw them in there got killed. The furnace was so hot. And that old king, he rose up in haste and said, he said, "Lo, I see four men loose and walking around, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Well, he's mistaken about that. The form of the fourth was the Son of God. Amen. He knew who God was. He knew who he was in there. You know what? You know, by the way, listen to this. God did not immediately deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire. Listen to me. But he got in there and walked with them. Now, we're living in a charismatical age today, when we have a lot of junk being preached on the TVs and on the radios and in the pulpit, that God's just going to always, every day, pour out His blessings on us and nothing bad's going to happen. That's hogwash, friend. But let me be it known unto you that when you're in the fire, God may not deliver you immediately from the fire, but He will get in that fire and walk with you. I remember the 1990s. I began to lose more eyesight. God did not immediately deliver me from that. And I went to the doctor the other day. My eyes doing the best I've ever done. But thank God for it. I mean, the doctor's amazed. And I go in there. He about has a spell every time. He gets excited about my eyes. And I do too. We've had a long journey. They'll never get whole because I've destroyed the optic nerve in there. But when I was walking through that trial, God didn't immediately deliver me, but He got in there and walked with me. Thank God He got in there and walked with me. Hallelujah. Amen. You might ought to just stand up and shout right there, amen, that God's walking with you in the fire. While some of you, boy, you've had a hard time with your son or your daughter, or maybe you've had a hard time with your wife or your husband. But brother, God may not have delivered you, but He's got in the fire and walked with you. Preacher may have give you trouble over there in that church, but thank God the whole time He is with you, walking around. What courage these men had, amen. I won't have time to get to the third one today, let me just give you this. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 25. The Bible said He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, your servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Watch this, verse 27. And the Bible said, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men. They witnessed it. God's got a witness. God's got a record. Amen. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was, the Bible said, and hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Now, verse number 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which hath sent His angel, amen, that's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, and delivered His servants that trusted in Him, and have changed the king's word. Amen. Nobody else could change it, but God changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Have it. When you stand for God, you will be rewarded. Young people, I'm going to stop and say this. When you stand for God at school, you'll be rewarded. When you stand for God among your friends and you say, no, I'll not have an immoral relationship before marriage. No, I'll not smoke the dope. No, I'll not smoke the cigarettes. No, I'll not drink the liquor. No, I'll not go dancing and have all kind of things at the prom. I'll not do all that stuff. I'm going to live for God. Not a Pharisee. I'm just going to live for God. Amen. Not going to be popular. You young people, you need to get a hold of this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Amen. Young people, young lady, purpose in your heart, you're going to be a virgin when you get married. Young man, purpose in your heart, you're going to be a virgin when you get married. Amen. 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 They told a story about this one little girl in high school laughing at another one about because she said, I'm going to be a virgin when I get married. And she laughed at her. And the little girl looked at her. She said, well, I'm going to say this to you. She said, I can become what you are any day of the week. But if you live to be 100 years old, you'll never become what I am again. Let me tell you something, brother. There is blessings in standing for God. Amen. When I was in school, they had the dancing. I told my mama. Mama didn't tell me. I said, write them a note. No, I didn't go in there and threaten them. I just said, won't be dancing. You see, God did not put a praying knee and a dancing foot. It won't fit on the same leg. Amen. No, sir. But I want you to know. Then I'm going to give you this. Amen. I'm going to give you this. We might go a little bit long, but I'm going to give you this last one. I'm going to just have to quote it. I'm not going to try to read the scripture. But I'm going to give you this, old Daniel. Let's talk about men of courage. We talked about David. We talked about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Let me give you Daniel. I took my text from Joshua. God said, Joshua needs some courage. And, of course, this was after Joshua. But, boy, Joshua needs some courage. And now here's old Daniel. Now, Daniel is one of three presidents. He's the head president under King Darius, all right? Now, these other presidents and princes go to King Darius, and they lie like a yeller dog. They go to him and they say, look, they say, we have got together, which they had not because they left Daniel out of it. And they said, we've got together, and King, if anybody asks a petition of anybody, save thee of 30 days, said, let them be thrown in the den of lions. Now, the Bible was careful there not to say a lion's den, because there can be a lion's den without lions, but there can't be a den of lions without lions. Amen. But anyway, you know the story. And so the king labored till the sun went down, but he couldn't deliver Daniel. So they threw Daniel in the den of lions, and so there he is. And the king didn't sleep all night long. The king was an older man in his 60s, and he didn't sleep all night long. And he goes down to the mouth of the den, the next one, and said, oh, Daniel, poor old fella, he said, is thy God whom thou trust able to deliver thee? Why, it wasn't the question, is God? It's the question, God did do it, amen? And Daniel told him to fear not, said the angel, God has sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth. Who was it? I believe is Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus came down there just like he did Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fire. And I believe he walked with Daniel in the den of lions. How about that? Amen. By the way, somebody said Daniel was in his 90s, maybe late 90s when this is written. By the way, when Daniel knew the decree was signed, here's his courage. They said, you can't pray to nobody else. When Daniel knew the decree was signed, he went to his house, not a Pharisee. The Bible said, as he did aforetime, he didn't do anything different. He just went and said, well, I'm going to pray. I want to ask Chris, what are you going to do if the communists take America and tell you you can't pray? What will you do if the communists take America and tell you you can't go to church? You say, oh, preacher, the communists over here in Russia and they're in China. Sir, your brain, you better sue it for non-support. The communists are in America. They're right here right now. Did you know that? We've got socialism right now. Amen. Look what's happening to the biggest city in the United States of America. Amen. We've got socialism everywhere. And brother, this communism, this idea of no work and the government will give everybody everything. I mean, there's some fundamental Baptists and they're looking for a handout from the government. God ordained work, friend. He didn't ordain us to look to the government for everything. No, sir. Amen. We're not to sit at home, you young boys, and play video games. Why people, you said, I don't like to work. You know what? Who does? Amen. Sometimes none of us do we? But let me tell you, you know what old Daniel did when he knew that right? He just went in there and prayed. The Bible said his windows were open toward Jerusalem. And, you know, God had promised them under Solomon that when Solomon had prayed that prayer, if they get carried to a foreign land, if they open their windows toward Jerusalem. And God heard his cry. And I'm going to say this to you. Amen. God heard his cry. And he was a great witness in front of Darius, the king. Now, let's get back to Joshua for a minute. I'm going to close. Joshua's getting ready to conquer the promised land. God three times said, Joshua, have courage. First time he's talking to him about the whole multitude. Second time he's talking to him about the word of God. And then the third time he's talking to him about within himself. You got to be strong. Fellas, as men of God, we've got to be strong. We've got to do it in love. But we have got to preach it right. I am not a recovering fundamentalist. I was not scarred by the standards and convictions that I had growing up. I want you, and you wasn't either. Let me tell you something. This recovering fundamentalism, it's an act of rebellion. That's all it is. When you say, well, my daddy stood so strong and I'm going to go a totally different, he did. You are rebellious. And the Bible said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Brother, we've got a rebellious spirit in our churches sometimes. We need to get on an altar and say, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost and give me courage. Now, Joshua's going to conquer a great land. He's going to do a good job. The great Bible general. And Joshua had courage. Father, take this message, use it for your glory. Encourage some person to stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen.